This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This program is not for the faint of heart, but a challenge to every believer. And Dr. Wyatt will share Paul's puzzlement. Do you not know?
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, this is a great lesson for us today. Sharon's reading is from the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I do hope you'll stay tuned.
Do not be deceived. Neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor sexual perverts, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved to anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach is meant for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. What I have had Sharon read is more than what is the epistle reading for this day, but includes passages that are patently not politically or socially correct. Words of the Apostle Paul that are often avoided, ignored, or now cleverly redefined. Such reflects very much this our brave new world of tolerance for the intolerable, charity for what is uncharitable, balance for the unbalanced, and acceptance for the unacceptable. We are so reluctant as a society, a culture, to judge misdeeds, not to mention blatant sin. It seems we strive to distort reality to find excuses for every senseless act of immorality, perversion, and brutality, instead of the simple truth. Or as Paul says, do you not know that? And then he proceeds to list a number of behaviors deemed unfit for the kingdom of God. Paul's point is not to be a spoilsport, to rain on all the fun, but it is a warning to the saints that acts of wickedness or evil will not inherit the kingdom. That is, they will be judged and excluded from God's inheritance and his glory. That is what the judgment of God leads to: exclusion, denial, being shut out, or doomed. Our acts have cosmic effect, both negatively and also positively. We dare not believe that we, of all people, are immune, that we can do whatever we please. There are many that have difficulty with such warnings. Some contend that believers cannot be disinherited, but this simply fails to take seriously the real meaning of such warnings as these. And then there are those who find such a list of unrighteous acts as irrelevant, ancient taboos, which all enlightened societies have surely outgrown. It's a nice thought if we truly believe that morally We are actually more advanced than the early Christians. In fact, Paul's concern for the Corinthians, as well as all believers, is that we stop deceiving ourselves. Stop believing the lie that to persist in the same activities of those clearly destined for divine judgment is to place oneself in imminent danger of the same judgment. If this is not Paul's intent, then his words here have no real meaning. To the sexual immoral and idolaters, they will not inherit the kingdom. Both acts Paul has dealt with earlier, discussing the particular worship practice of the Corinthian pagans. He adds four new items now: adulterers, thieves, and two unusual Greek words that in our new world of inclusiveness, acceptance, and tolerance have been the subject of much debate and intense effort, believe me, to reinterpret or revise. They are, as I said, unique words, one possibly cobbled together by Paul himself, for this is its first use in all known Greek literature. The King James Version renders these words as effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. The Revised Standard Version cobbles the two together as simply sexual perverts, which includes a wide field and is a poor effort to offend no one and in fact offends even more. The New International Version renders the two male prostitute and homosexual offenders, which does make a serious effort to accurately relate the true meaning, but fails to catch Paul's utter disdain for obviously what he has seen in the Greek culture of his time. Paul concludes this list with the activities of the greedy, drunkards, revilers, robbers, and those that defraud the innocent, that all such, if they persist in such, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Our world doesn't like this, and all the debates over the meaning of a few strange Greek words is to excuse what Paul here condemns. Yes, our world does not like such clear divisions, a clear declaration of wrongdoing, and then to say that such acts will doom one to perdition. This is not nice. We are supposed to go along to get along. Look the other way. Don't make waves. It all just makes for unnecessary problems. But one also has to ask, what would Jesus do? He did ask the woman caught in adultery, "Who is there to condemn thee?" And then when she says, "No one," he does add, "Neither do I condemn thee." But he does close by saying, "Go and sin no more." He forgives the repentant easy enough, but asks no commands that we not go back to wallow in our old mire. He was quick to condemn the money changers and the evil intent of those who sought his destruction. Yes, clearly Christianity is a faith of redemption, forgiveness, of second, even third chances, of new beginnings. For as Paul says here, that such were some of you. Actually, with his use of the imperfect, it is literally, this is what you used to be. A startling statement, one that is at first difficult to fully grasp. Just what is Paul saying? That some in the Corinthian church had at one time actually engaged in such immoral activity? That is exactly what he is saying. Such sinners were some of you. But is that not true of all those redeemed by the gracious act of God in the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary? We may not have lived quite as libertine, as risque as was prevalent in Corinth, but any sin is a danger to our inheritance. But now in Christ Jesus, one is meant to be different. We are to be changed, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we are not to live like the world. Stop stealing, defrauding, living in some sexual license, but to put away impure images, that which entices one to crave what is unclean. Paul's list here is not as lengthy as others he has written, for here it is centered on those sins that are grasping, greedy, self-centered, and self-gratifying in a perverse way. But as in all things, there is God's grace. This is what you used to be, But in Christ one is washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The verbs washed, sanctified, justified refer to the same fact, and each has God as the implied subject. The latent Trinitarianism here, as Gordon Fee has written, is very difficult to escape. God has made salvation, the erasing of such past activities, possible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit. This act of God and the work of the Spirit is what makes it possible for a believer to overcome any life of sin, the degradation, and its enslavement. Paul is prodding the Corinthians to become what they truly are meant to be because of the work of Christ. This means for Paul and our New Testament that we are to behave differently from the unrighteous because the stain, the enslavement of sin, has been removed by the grace of God. There is to be an ethical transformation where such thoughts, the acts, become unthinkable and undoable. This entire address was directed at the problem of two Christian brothers at odds and a son's involvement with his father's widow. And in this we are given a remarkable outworking of Pauline theology and ethics in the real world. The warnings are real, and the implications require the Spirit at work in the believer. It is not about grace and then no concern for one's behavior. That misses Paul's true concerns. God's grace, his redemptive work, means we are to live and walk in that grace. We are not in the business of papering over sin and the sinners without the acts of repentance unto justification. Paul would not understand the idea of easy grace, of once saved, always saved, and behaving just as you did before one was supposedly saved. That is exactly why Paul has written this letter. To many lived as if no action, no lifestyle could disqualify one from God's kingdom. Obviously, that is not true. What is missing in such is the understanding of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Paul will now deal with this perception, for it appears that there is for some a sense of freedom in the Spirit, but it is a false sense of freedom, which excuses any activity, in this case, immorality of the worst kind. They are saying all things are lawful, that all is permitted because God will destroy the body, so the body doesn't matter. Paul here does not just attack their illicit acts. First, he undercuts this false perception that they think permits such activity. Perhaps they are using some statement of Paul's regarding God's grace and Christian freedom for their own purpose. But their error is that Paul always qualifies any activity as being in Christ or for Christ. For as he will say, only as one is in Christ that everything is permitted to me. And that would have to do with everyday necessities as food, drink, and Jewish regulations, not immorality. He will twice qualify their slogan in such a way to utterly negate it. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Christians are not free to act as they please without any moral or ethical restraints. To Paul, that is not freedom at all, but a form of enslavement, a bondage worse than what had been a life of sin. For we are to see that our freedom in Christ is not for ourselves, but for others. The real question is not whether what we do is lawful or right or certainly fun, but whether it is good, whether it benefits the whole. As Gordon Fee again has written, Christian conduct is not predicated whether we have the right to do something, but whether my conduct is helpful to those about me, unquote. As Paul will then add, he is not interested in any freedom that will control, overwhelm, or enslave one. Those that excuse such immorality or easy virtue are simply deceiving themselves. There is in such excuses a rationale, what amounts to self-deception. As I have shared before, a fellow minister whose once saved, always saved theology was but an excuse to live as bad as any man in the world. I found his association intolerable, for it stained me as a minister, as well as all who worked with him. His believed freedom and authority was in fact enslavement of the worst kind. Paul's warning is real. Those in Corinth did not understand. This body, once we are in Christ, is not meant for the fire, not therefore meant for immorality. It is for the Lord, and as Paul states, the Lord for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Our bodies, yes, this body, with all its aches and pains, being tired after a day's work, is the Lord's now, and he will raise it up new on that day. And Paul then adds, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Paul will continue his argument that as this is true, one cannot, should not misuse, commit grievous immoral acts. We are his after all. We are not pagans who see the material as passing and of no value. He abides in us. His spirit lives in us now. How can we, how dare we do what is unlawful, unseemly, unjustifiable in his presence? That means, yes, that all these activities he listed here and elsewhere can and very well may disqualify one for the kingdom. As Paul says, do you not know this? I care not what the world wishes or what they want. We must decide, do we obey man or God? I believe they know the truth. That is why the effort to still our voices, for they know, and you know, what is right and good. Our precious Lord, do continue to undertake for this ministry. Enable this voice to be heard near and far. For all we desire is to present the truth of the Word of God, to present what is necessary for God's people to thrive and mature, that we might see souls saved and wounds healed and bodies mended. All for the glory of God, for thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, and it will be for thy glory forever. Amen and amen.
Every once in a while, such topics as this should be expounded upon. Our faith is far more than easy grace and no obligations. There is also an urgency and grave responsibilities to being a follower of Christ Jesus. This is the clear message of Paul in his message from 1 Corinthians, and why Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his book, 15 Things the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. Here, in a brief and entertaining manner, is presented a few of the things that our adversary, the devil, would just as soon you were not familiar with. You will enjoy this study, so do write and ask for 15 Things the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. It is yours at no charge. Well, there isn't enough time on this broadcast to let you know just how much we appreciate all of our friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we would love to hear from you and would hope that you would consider being one of the dear ones who support this ministry, enabling us to proclaim the wonderful Word of God throughout the world and to come to you each week on your wonderful radio station. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This entire subject is so obviously not understood by a popular culture not interested in the truth. So too is this testimony from Glenn of Mount Vernon, Washington, who writes to tell us he has complete use of his arm and leg. The effects of the stroke are completely gone, and he is praising God. God does answer. But now Chris Tomlin comes to sing, "The Cross Changes Everything." And until next week, do know our God is real.
Some will say this place belongs to history, but I can see, yes, I can see across the changes.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week a copy of his booklet, 15 Things the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know.
So do write and ask for your copy of 15 Things the Devil Doesn't Want You to Know. It can be yours at no charge. Just write. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.